Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. Welcome back to the UEG Journal. Today I am joined by Dr. Maarten Jong from the University of Amsterdam, and we will be discussing his paper titled Towards a Robust and Compact Deep Learning System for Primary Detection of Early Barrett's Neoplasia, Initial Image-Based Results of Training on a Multicenter Retrospectively Collected Dataset. So welcome, Maarten. Can you please introduce yourself and your co-authors and tell us where you work?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for your kind invitation to talk about our recent work. So I'm Maarten Jong, a research fellow from the Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and I'm part of the Bonsai Consortium, a research consortium led by Professor Bergman, a gastroenterologist also from Amsterdam, who mainly specializes in the management of Barrett's esophagus, and Peter de Wit, who's from the Technical University of Eindhoven, also a professor. And the Bonsai Consortium focuses on developing AI systems for Barrett's esophagus, and it includes many international Barrett expert endoscopists.
Perfect. Thank you. So could you start by giving us an overview of the rationale behind developing a computer-aided detection system for the primary detection of Barrett's neoplasia on white light endoscopy images?
Yes. Well, as you very well know, detecting esophageal cancer in an early stage is crucial for a good prognosis. This has always been one of the main objectives of this research group, the timely detection of Barrett's neoplasia with advanced imaging techniques. And in the last years, the main focus was artificial intelligence, as this has gotten a lot of traction in many fields. And many Barrett's patients receive regular surveillance endoscopies to catch possible dysplasia or cancer in an early stage. However, endoscopic detection of Barrett's neoplasia can be challenging. And with the development of high-definition endoscopes, nearly all those subtle changes, mucosal changes, can be visualized. But due to the low prevalence, many endoscopists are often not familiar with these changes. And multiple studies suggest that these early lesions can be missed on a regular basis, and especially in community-based hospitals where the bulk of Barrett's surveillance takes place. So here really lies the potential for artificial intelligence. Our system has been exposed to thousands of cases of Barrett's neoplasia, and this is more than any endoscopist will probably see in his or her entire career. And other benefits are obviously that AI never gets tired and is consistent in its predictions. So this really could be the great equalizer for detection of Barrett's neoplasia.
Yeah, artificial intelligence is really taking over, isn't it? It's such a hot topic these days, and I really found your group's approach really interesting. And I think actually in your study you showed that the algorithm actually outperformed endoscopists in terms of sensitivity, which is really interesting, but we can come back to that a bit later. So could you maybe talk about how you actually developed your algorithm?
Yes, sure. For the purpose of developing this this system, our consortium acquired a very large data set of endoscopic images of over thousands of Barrett's patients. And a vast majority of this data set is used to train the algorithm to detect neoplasia. So all these images are annotated by Barrett's experts and subsequently, let's say, it gets fed to the algorithm. And the system then predicts whether the image contains neoplasia or not. And it's penalized if it's incorrect. And this is a very iterative process where the system slowly learns image by image to detect neoplasia. And for the development of such a system, we rely on our extensive and close collaboration with our technical partners. We really need to understand what they are doing, at least at the conceptual level. And vice versa, they need to understand all the clinical challenges to the system. And I realized that artificial intelligence can sound sometimes a bit intimidating to the average MD, but I think it's really our job to remain critical on the development and validations of these systems. So what data sets are used? Are results generalizable to clinical practice, etc.?
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. Because you use retrospectively collected still images, I think, after training the machine learning algorithm. But I think the aim is to use this system kind of during live endoscopy procedures. So could you speculate on how you think you could potentially translate this method into live practice for clinicians?
Yeah, that's a very valid question. Many current available AI systems rely heavily on retrospective data, and this data is definitely valuable to the systems. And also, it's obviously more readily available in hospital archives. However, retrospective data does have its limitations and biases. I can give you an example. Hospital databases only comprise images of neoplasia detected by the endoscopist. And once the lesion is detected, the endoscopist wants to do a good job and takes the perfect image. So this image nicely focuses on the lesion and it's easily visible. But in daily practice, our system should aid the endoscopist in finding these lesions. So the lesion will probably be somewhere in the periphery on the screen and will be very hard to find. So therefore, dedicated prospective data is definitely needed. And I would like to emphasize on the first part of the title of our article, and that is towards a deep learning system. So this study really laid the groundwork and foundation for an even larger study where we developed a system based on prospective data. And this study currently lies under review and this will be published in the upcoming months.
Ah, okay, cool. I was just going to ask if when you think the prospective study will take place, but that's really cool to hear. I will look forward to hopefully reading that next study. It will be a nice follow-up for sure. So what was the logic behind using the three different independent cohorts to test the model? And how were these cohorts selected?
So after the development of such an algorithm, you obviously want to test it. And this should be done on an independent group of patients that is preferably representative for the population where you ultimately want to deploy your system. And also you want some human reference to the system. So we tested our algorithm on three so-called test sets. With every test set, we evaluated a different aspect of the algorithm. So one test set tried to mimic the caseload of daily clinical practice. So this test set was filled with randomly chosen images of Barrett's neoplasia. So the performance would be more or less comparable to performance on a daily basis. The second test set was used to compare the performance of the system against human performance. So we invited over 50 general endoscopists to evaluate this test set. And we enriched this test set with cases of subtle, hard to detect neoplasia. These are cases that are challenging for both the endoscopist and the algorithm. And this was probably the most important test set, as this is the data where it should really prove its added value as an algorithm. And finally, we collected a third test set with already prospectively collected data, which will be used in the next study as well. Because as I said, retrospective data always contains certain biases. And here we could already take a sneak peek at how the system would perform once exposed to prospective data.
Okay, that's a lot clearer. Thank you for explaining that. So we already mentioned that your algorithm seemed to outperform endoscopists in terms of sensitivity. So essentially it's got a higher detection rate, but I think it also produces more false positive detections as well. So I'm wondering what implications do you think this has for its use in clinical practice?
Yes, this is really one of the main challenges for, I think, every detection system in daily practice, not just for Barrett's, but also for the colon, for example. So for us, a single false positive detection, we basically envision three different scenarios. The endoscopist can simply ignore the false positive detection because it's that obvious. He or she can take a closer look with optical chromatography techniques. And incidentally, we also developed an algorithm for characterization in narrowband imaging as well. And finally, a biopsy can be taken. And given the fact that the Seattle Protocol currently still dictates 4 random biopsies for every 2 centimeters of Barrett's, the burden of this biopsy is quite limited. So ideally, this endoscopist-AI interaction would be further investigated, and this is what we indeed did in the larger follow-up study that I already mentioned. Here we did not just compare the detection system with the endoscopist, but also endoscopist without AI versus the same endoscopist with AI. And this will provide us with more information on how endoscopists will handle false positive detections. The only real issue, I think, that persists is a loss of trust that can occur in the system if there are too many false positive detections, and the endoscopist will probably just turn off the system. This is something that will probably not occur in clinical trials and in our studies, but rather in a later stage. So post-market surveillance of these AI systems is really necessary.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, like you said, the use of AI by endoscopists, by clinicians, to help them better, you know, detect early neoplasia, it needs further kind of investigation. But it seems like also from the patient's perspective, there's probably going to be more trust there, knowing that the clinician is still kind of involved in that process. But yeah, it's an interesting path forward, I think. So I guess following on from that, the images that are used in your study were recorded by expert endoscopists. So I think people who are quite routinely involved in looking and detecting Barrett's lesions, which, you know, this may differ from the eventual application in the current surveillance setting, where you may have people, you know, general endoscopists who are maybe not so well trained in looking at esophageal neoplasia. How do you aim to test the efficacy of your technology in the real life scenario?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's one of the major challenges for AI systems, especially in the field of Barrett's esophagus. So while the true value of our algorithm lies probably within these community-based centers, the prevalence of Barrett's neoplasia is really low here. And collecting large volumes of neoplastic data in these centers is therefore infeasible. So in our opinion, the solution is twofold. One, we need to make our algorithm more robust against the more diverse input that it will get in daily clinical practice. And this can be done both with technological solutions as well as, well, more on the data side of things. And second, and probably the most important, we need some sort of quality assurance algorithm that first verifies the input data. And if the quality is insufficient, the user should get feedback, or the system should indicate that its predictions are not reliable. And without such a system, a detection system will lose much of its potential, in our opinion.
Thank you. Asking from the perspective of someone who's not well-versed in the machine learning sphere, what would a quality assurance algorithm look like? How would you set that up?
Well, there are multiple ways that you can approach this issue. In the colon, for example, you have very simple algorithms that simply measure the drawback speed. And funny enough, those algorithms often result in a higher increase of ADR than actual detection systems. So solutions don't have to be too complicated.
Okay.
So we'll probably start with just an algorithm that gives feedback to the user that the current input is not sufficient enough in quality that a detection system can reliably make a prediction. So this will at least increase the trust in the system and reduce the a false trust in the system.
Okay.
And in the long run, maybe we want to do something like a 3D mapping of the esophagus so that you make sure that you don't miss any blind spots.
That would be really awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah, this was a really interesting interview. Before we finish off, do you think you could summarize the conclusions that you drew from your findings and highlight any future research that we should expect from you and your team.
Yes, definitely. So this study reports the preliminary results of a computer-aided detection system for Barrett's neoplasia. The detection rate of the system outperformed a large group of general endoscopists. And as I said, in a soon-to-be-published study, we will further investigate an updated version based on prospective data. And this system will be able to process real-time video inputs, because now we only evaluated images. And here we will compare the performance of endoscopists without AI versus endoscopists with AI. So please stay tuned for more.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Martin. It was really interesting to hear more about your study in detail. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure the listeners will too. So thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you've been enjoying our UEG Journal podcast episodes, you're in for a treat. Coming this June, UEG is launching a brand new multidisciplinary podcast series called UEG Talks. Want gastroenterology to go? Listen for fresh insights and perspectives in science, education, and professional development. Head to uEG.eu/podcast to learn more. The first episode launches on Wednesday, 14th of June, so stay tuned for more. We hope you enjoyed this interview, and if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you, and see you again.